Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography in Israel, in the Middle East, and of course, we connect you to the current events that are happening in that part of the world. And there is so much going on, obviously, there in the land of Israel and in the Middle East. Well, I'm sitting across the table from a guy who, of course, loves the land of Israel. He loves Christians. He's an incredible bridge for Christians, and he actually happens to be a part of the government there in Israel. He's a member of the Knesset, now a dear friend of mine, and I love this guy because he is so enthusiastic about this bridge between Jews and Christians, and even more important, about the land of Israel, that it belongs to the Jewish people. And I'm talking about Ohad Tal, a member of the Knesset, and he is a member of the National Religious Zionist Party. He heads up a lot of committees there, and he's a member of the Security and Foreign Affairs Committee, and of course, former IDF member. Ohad, it is so nice to talk to you again.
John, it's so good to be here with you. You are an incredible person, and thank you very much for having me again.
Well, I love just sitting across the table talking to you, and you obviously are connected to the government, and you know what's going on. You love the land of Israel, but there's so much going on there right now, and honestly, it's just been so difficult for the people of Israel.
Yes, you're right. I think since the massacre of October 7th, we are in a war. We are in a war which started as a war for our survival against these radical forces that Iran has built all around us, with Hezbollah, with 150,000 ballistic missiles in the north, in Lebanon, and of course 40,000 Shiite militias in Syria, and similar number in Iraq, and the Houthis in Yemen, and of course Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza and in Judea and Samaria. That plan, which was built in decades and billions of dollars, was meant for one purpose, and that is to destroy the one and only Jewish state. That was the purpose. And thank God, I mean, look at where we are right now. The situation has flipped because, you know, look at what happened to Hezbollah. All the missiles gone, the leadership gone. In less than a week, the Assad regime, we've destroyed all of their army, tanks, airplanes, Navy vessels, all gone in less than a week. Of course, Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza and in Judea and Samaria suffered a severe hit. The Houthis in Yemen suffered severe hits from Israeli Air Force. Even in Tehran, they feel the might of the Israeli army. So the reality is changing in an unbelievable... I mean, you know, I always say, how can you look at what is happening and not have a strong faith in God, God Almighty, who is with the people of Israel, is protecting the people of Israel, protecting the land of Israel. This is what we are seeing in front of our eyes each and every day. Miracles of miracles and miracles. Unbelievable. We still have a lot of work to do because we haven't finished the job. We haven't. We must finish the job because this evil of Hamas on top of everything else, has to be eradicated. We cannot finish this war without eradicating Hamas once and for all.
We can't even imagine, as an American living in Israel, with the threats that you guys are dealing with, and yet what we see with the Israeli people is resilience over and over again in the face of demonic evil, this demonic entity called Hamas. We've seen this October 7, 2023. We see this as they parade these hostages out and make a spectacle. We see this when they returned the two little babies back to Israel. And then they said, okay, well, here's mom. Well, it wasn't mom. They don't believe in life.
Right. You know, it's so sick, so sick. And I'm not just referring to the cruelty of murdering a 10-month-old baby. Okay, I'm not even referring to that. And mother and her two children. I'm not even referring to that. I'm referring to the fact that on that Thursday, we've seen exactly who are the people of Gaza. You know, we've seen parents taking their children to celebrate a festival of death, of murder, of little baby. And they were cheering. They're encouraging their children to cheer, to be happy, to celebrate a murder of a little child, a little baby. While in Israel, on the other side of the border, parents were also taking their children with Israeli flags to walk with the bodies, to mourn their loss. And that's the whole difference. One culture that glorifies death and one culture that sanctifies life. One is a force for good, one is a force for evil. That's the whole difference. That's the whole story. And I think this is where the world should wake up and realize what is the reality, because they're trying to dehumanize us. They're trying to say we are committing genocide. How many lies? Everything is upside down. And I think, yes, the world needs to wake up and realize what is the truth. They are glorifying death and murder. This is not our culture. The world needs to decide, where are you standing? Are you with the truth, with the light, with life, or are you with death and murder and lies and deceptions? And I think the time has come for the world to realize what is the truth. And thank God, you know, now in the White House, we have a president who actually can differentiate good and evil. Because in the past 4 years, we didn't have such a... it was very the other way around. I mean, you know, the president and Kamala Harris, every time, all along this war, it was always important for them to as if there's some kind of equation between Hamas and Israel, that they condemn violence on both sides. Oh, really? You're condemning violence on both sides? What two sides are there in the story? I think we are moving in the right direction. There's a president in the White House who speaks the truth, finally.
So talking about President Donald Trump and, you know, his view towards Israel now, what do you like about what he's doing and how he's helping Israel?
Again, first of all, just the fact that he understands that after the massacre of October 7th and everything we've seen since then, the bad guys are Hamas, and you should push Hamas, not to push Israel. This is what we've seen. I mean, every time in the past 76 years since the establishment of the state of Israel, every time we had a war, every time we had another cycle of violence, every time we had terror attacks, the world and America would have pushed Israel for more concessions, as if that's the solution to all the problems. Well, you know, we've tried that. To make more concessions, to give more pieces of our land to the Arabs, doesn't work. It doesn't bring more peace. It doesn't create a reality of prosperity and stability. It only does the opposite. So yes, thank God there's a president. You know, I just came from CPAC also, and I've heard the president. President Trump speaks there, and you know, I kept thinking that President Trump, he just genuinely saying what he thinks. You know, imagine that, a leader who just say what he thinks without politically correctness and without all these, just speak the truth. And you know what? People are thirsty for truth from the leaders. So thank God, I think we're moving in the right direction. And when he was offering to remove the Gazans out of there, just, you know, common sense, logical solution to the endless cycle of violence, when you understand who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. That's it. As simple as that.
You know, back in 2005, during the disengagement of Gaza, when Jewish people were in Gaza and the land was prospering, the land was blooming, and then it all changed when those Jewish people were kicked out of that land and they became basically refugees in their own country. They had to go find another place to live. And then now we see the radical thing that's happened there in Gaza as it's been taken over by these people filled with evil towards Israel. And the world is like, okay, let's just have a two-state solution. Have Israel give up a little bit more land and everything's going to be fine. You know, pay the guy a little bit more money, pay the bully, as you said, and everything will be just fine. But it's not fine. It's not fine.
You're right. You know, I remember exactly a year ago, before previous NRB, and I came to speak against President Biden trying to impose the two-state solution again on Israel. Because, you know, how twisted can you be in order to think that after the massacre of October 7th, the solution should be allowing the Palestinians to establish a Palestinian state, to get a reward? I mean, what kind of message do you think that sends to the world, to radicals, Islamists all over the world? What kind of message do you think you send to them? To tell them that using the path of terror, that's the right way to go and move forward, because it gives you everything you wanted. Thank God now reality has changed. We have a new president in the White House and with new administration, with lots of people who understand that the right way forward is not to implement, not to repeat the same mistakes and expect different results. As Einstein said, that's the definition of insanity. But actually to implement, you know what? To implement God's policies. And that is stop dividing the land. Stop giving parts of the land to the Arabs, but actually to keep it as a Jewish state. And this is why about a week and a half ago, I introduced in the Knesset a bill to apply Israeli sovereignty in Judea and Samaria, because that's the only answer to this lies and deception and cruelty coming up from Hamas, because the whole desire is not really to have a Palestinian state. The whole concept of a Palestinian state is just nice way to say we want the annihilation of the Jewish state. So if you want to take their hope away, their hope to destroy us by using the lie of Palestinian state, we need to make it very clear that we are here to stay, and that's the whole land, and definitely the biblical heartland of Israel, which is Judea and Samaria, has to be forever part, official part of the state of Israel.
So you've introduced a bill in the Knesset to make that a reality, and we are going to ask everybody out there to pray that this thing goes through completely and totally, because that would radically change some things when you have the endorsement, you know, of the government. We already know what the Bible says, right, about Judea and Samaria, right? And we already know what the Bible says about the land of Israel. That covenant was made with Abraham. A lot of people don't know Judea and Samaria. They don't know that this thing is divided.
So even before, just the concept of what is Judea and Samaria? So people have to understand, Judea and Samaria is what people call the West Bank, okay? The West Bank, which is a false term to basically take away the Jewish identity of that piece of land. Because what is the West Bank? You know, when the British man that got his mandate to build a national home for the Jewish people, he got the whole area of what is today the Kingdom of Jordan and what today is modern state of Israel, okay? And he got this whole thing, this whole area, for what? To build a house for the Jewish people. That's it. But at the end of the day, they divided the land again, and they gave 80% of that to the Arabs, to the Palestinians, and this is today the Kingdom of Jordan, with 75% of its population Palestinians. So effectively, they got a Palestinian state. Okay, and that is 80% of the land. It's the Kingdom of Jordan. So we have left with only 20%. Now, the West Bank of the Jordan River became known as the West Bank, but that is actually the biblical Judea and Samaria. This is where the patriarchs have walked. This is where all the stories of the Bible have happened. And if Jews are not connected to that piece of land, then we are not connected to any piece of land. We came back for Judea and Samaria, for Hebron and for Jerusalem and for Shiloh and all these places that we all know from the Bible, they are there. That's the land we're talking about. Now the right solution needs to happen. We need to apply sovereignty to make that land official part of the land of Israel. All those people who are advocating for the two-state solution needs to remember that we already gave Jordan 80% of the land to the Arabs, so they already have a Palestinian state. Even Gaza, as you said before, in 2005, we have withdrew from the Gaza Strip and we gave it all to the Palestinians. They effectively already had the second Palestinian state. So when they're saying that they want a two-state solution, they actually mean that from the 20% that we have left, they want to divide it to two more Palestinian states. It's basically giving the Palestinians three states and the Jews only one state on only like 15 or 12% of the whole land. So this is not sustainable. This is not something we will stand for. This is not something we can accept. It's not just, it's not right. The right thing, the most just thing, the most biblical thing is to apply sovereignty.
And that's what your bill will do. That's what it will do. Are you getting some pushback? Now, you guys have the you know, the majority there.
You know, because it's the beginning of the process, so it's too early to say. Yeah. But I think I have a feeling that this time there's a real chance to actually make it happen. And I'll tell you why. First of all, because I think after October 7th, most people with common sense in Israel, they support it because they understand that the two-state solution has failed, miserably failed. I mean, we've tried 100 years. We are trying to give pieces of our land to the Arabs and hoping that will bring the peace and stability. Da, 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 da. It doesn't work. Again, October 7th proved that beyond any doubt. So they understand that the two-state solution is not relevant anymore. That's it. Gone. Done. Go away. Bye-bye. We don't want to see you again. Okay, so what should we do? Yes, I think applying sovereignty, that's the solution that the vast majority of the people of Israel will support. You know, we had two votes in the Knesset in the past year about that issue to reject the two-state solution. The first was with 99 members of Knesset supporting. 99, I don't think in history we had an agreement of 99 members of Knesset out of 120. Only the Arabs were against that to reject the two-state solution. We had a similar vote later on that year. So I think we are moving there. We are moving in the right direction. People came to realize that is the right way to move forward.
You know, what I'm finding and what I'm hearing more and more, let's take, for example, Senator Cotton from Arkansas. You know, he's trying to get a bill passed that, you know, we get rid of the West Bank, which is not correct at all, and go back to Judea and Samaria, the correct biblical names when it comes to government documents and the way the government responds to that. I just saw a few moments ago something from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Representative Mast, I think, and he's like, hey, in our committee, we're going to refer to Judea and Samaria, and I have that in front of me here looking at that. And so, I mean, there seems to be a movement even among Congress, and especially with this new administration and among so many people recognizing the fact that this is the biblical heartland.
I'm very optimistic. I think we're moving in the right direction. But I would even say that this is not enough. I mean, changing the language is the great first step, but it's not enough. We, you know, here again, last year in NRB, you've passed here a resolution, the NRB leadership passed a resolution to stop referring to that area as the West Bank, but as Judea and Samaria. That's great. That's beautiful. And thank God for that. We are a year later. We are beyond that. Now we don't want to just call it Judea and Samaria. We want to actually make it part of Israel.
Well, we want to ask everybody out there who loves the Jewish people in the state of Israel to pray that this thing goes through and that you do get the sovereignty. I mean, because you already have biblically. I mean, it's in the Bible. But the world is like, no, we just want to divide the land of Israel and we think that's best. No, that's not best. It's best to stick to what the Word of God says. Going back to the Gaza situation and what Trump is saying, that, hey, you know, give the Gazans an opportunity to leave their country. You know, don't understand how some of these Arab countries, they don't want the people from Gaza. Can you please explain that to me? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's, you know what, this is, you're not the only one. Nobody understand. Well, you know what, actually everybody understand because nobody wants the Palestinians. Who wants them? Who wants them? You know, all these countries who are supposedly support the Palestinians, allow them so much. I keep asking them, Ireland, right, and Canada, and all these countries who said that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Well, okay, now is your chance to get these Palestinians and help them. So take them. Take them. If you love them so much, if you actually believe that Israel is committing a genocide, go ahead. Take them. Save them from Israel. Well, what's stopping you? Well, they all understand that it's a one big lie. So thank God. Again, thank God for President Trump who just, you know, called the lie, say, you know, we want to solve the problem. We will remove the Gazans out of there. So, okay, maybe it will not be Egypt or Jordan, because you know, for me, I think it will be better to send them to other places, maybe to Yemen, maybe to other countries, and maybe in Africa, you know, in several countries. But that's the only logical solution to the endless cycle of violence that we are seeing coming out of Gaza.
I would love to see the Jewish people back in Gaza, taking that land that's rightfully theirs back. And, you know, I don't know how that will happen. I don't know if that will happen. But in my heart of hearts, biblically speaking, that should happen, because that is the land that was promised to the Jewish people, not just Judea and Samaria, all of Israel. And I would love to see the Jewish people return, because, you know, when the Jewish people are in the land, here's what happens. The land prospers. The land blossoms. The land is successful. When the Jewish people are out of the land, then it's not good. And we've seen that, you know, throughout periods of history. And you look at what's happened in Gaza, the Jewish people left, and then, you know, what happened? So there's a biblical thing happening here, and people got to realize that.
In 2005, when we left Gaza, unfortunately, we made this horrible mistake of leaving Gaza, and we've expelled 8,000 Israelis out of there, and we even took people out of their graves. We've destroyed synagogues. We've destroyed everything. We've left them with nothing but a greenhouses that they could, again, really, they could truly made Gaza to the Singapore of the Middle East, because also billions of dollars of your tax dollars were invested in Gaza. They could have made it to the Singapore of the Middle East, but of course, they chose not to do that. They've invested every penny, every cent in making Gaza to the biggest terrorist of the world. If people really care about human rights, okay, and they really care about the Palestinians, do you really think that current situation and the current answers that we gave in the past 30 years since the Oslo Accords, do you really think that that's good for anybody? You think the Palestinians in Gaza are now enjoying their lives, living the dream? I mean, everybody's suffering. So if we really want to give the Palestinians better options, better life, better future, so I think the time has come to realize that living under the Hamas control, which again was elected by the it's not that nobody forced Hamas upon the Palestinians. They elected them. They voted them in. They made it. It's their they chose that. But you know, let's remove them out of there. Let's send them away. Spread them all around the world. Allow them to leave, because Gaza is the only place on earth that, while at war, they don't have the right, the ability to leave. You know, just in the past month, that's it, in the past month, in Congo, almost 500,000 people left Congo because of the war there. So people are leaving war zones all the time. The only place in the world that people are not allowed to leave is Gaza. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me, because if we keep that situation going, then it's bad for Israel, and then they can use that against Israel. So it makes total sense to me that that's the reason why they want to do that. Well, we just have a couple of minutes left here on the show, and I want to give you an opportunity. I always love to do this for you to talk to our listeners. You love Christians. You bridge a gap for them like nobody in the Knesset. So talk to the Christians who are listening, who love you guys, and what's the message that you want to tell them?
My message to you is that, you know, we need to work together, because what we've seen, again, this is not just the war of Israel against Hamas or these radical forces of barbarism. This is really the war of Western culture, Western civilization. We are just at the forefront of this war, right? Because, and I'll tell you, I think I told you that once, that I've seen a video of the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. His name is Sheikh Raed Salah, and he was asked by his people, what's going to happen in Gaza on the next day? And his answer was, that is the wrong question. The real question should be, what's going to happen in America on the next day? Because we want to take down America. That's the truth. They call us just the little Satan. They call you guys the big Satan. They want to take down America. We are fighting your war. We are fighting against these dark forces of barbarism. And we have to fight together. We're fighting them. And we are fighting the alliance that they have with the radical, progressive, woke culture that are joining forces. You know, all these, you know, queers for Palestinians who are demonstrating in college campuses all across America, fighting for the rights of the Palestinians. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They're chanting without even understanding, realizing what they're actually saying, calling for genocide of the Jewish people. That's the meaning of that. And this alliance is threatening everybody, Jews and Christians alike. They want to destroy everything we believe in. They want to destroy our family values. They're fighting our national values. They're fighting God. They're fighting God Almighty. This is what they're trying to do. So yes, I think the time has come for Jews and Christians who believe in God, who care for family values, for freedom of religion, for the ability to, yes, to understand that, no, the individual is not the most sacred thing in the world. And what I want here and now is not the most sacred thing in the world, because there are other things, family, nation, God, religion. There are other things which are more important than myself. This is our joint war. This is the battlefield that we are in, and we have to join forces and fight together.
That's a great way to end this conversation on the Middle East Report with Ohad Tal, an elected member of the Knesset, which of course is the governing body in Israel. And Ohad is a great guy, and I love that brother so much. And just want to thank you so much, Ohad, for joining us today here on the Middle East Report. And do pray for Ohad. He is doing what he can do to make an impact, not only in Israel, but around the United States as well, informing people of what's happening there in the land of Israel. And again, Ohad Tal, a member of the Israeli Knesset, joining us today on the Middle East Report. When it comes to Israel, you might feel a little alone in your support for the Jewish people in Israel, especially when you are faced with a world that tries to delegitimize the Jewish people's right to exist. I want to tell you about a summit that's coming up this summer. I attended the summit last year, and it was definitely life-changing. I'm talking about the Israel Summit, put on by the Israel Guys. And the Israel Summit offers you this beautiful opportunity to connect with like-minded individuals from all over the world and to hear from world-class Israeli speakers and gain access to valuable resources that will empower you to better stand with Israel, because together we can make a difference, but we have to have the proper, truthful information, because there is so much anti-Israel negativity and Jew hatred out there. So I just want to encourage you to put this down on your calendar. Make sure that you go and attend the Israel Summit. It's coming up on June 9th through the 11th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The Israel Summit, again, put on by the Israel Guys. It's an opportunity for all of us to unite in our voices in support of Israel's right to be sovereign in their land. And, you know, we've been talking all about that here on this edition of the Middle East Report. A lot of incredible guests are going to be there at the Israel Summit. David Freeman is going to be one of the speakers. He is a former U.S. ambassador to Israel, and he did such a fantastic job for our country, for sure. And there's going to be special music, a lot of other speakers from Israel that will be there June 9th through the 11th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And if you want more details on this, I encourage you to go to theisraelguys.com. That's theisraelguys.com. You can get a lot of great information there on how you can plug in and be a part of this amazing event that's coming up this June in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's the Middle East Reports. I'm John Riley. Thank you for listening. Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms, and you can go to afr.net.